Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, July 11th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Fresh signs of a dovish Fed send stocks to record highs.
Bets for a 50-point cut rise while forecasts for Treasury yields fall.
Oil gains as a potential hurricane heads for the Gulf of Mexico.
And Deutsche Bank is dragged into a U.S. probe over one MDB.
Tensions rise after the U.K. says Iranian vessels tried to block a commercial tanker. Plus, ex-National Security Advisor Michael Flynn's no-prison deal is in doubt. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Coming up in sports, it's a battle of heavyweights at Wimbledon. Serena Williams moves one step closer, and the Nets, they get creative with the cap.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker in 2019 and low-cost online broker for the 18th consecutive year by Barron's. Learn why at ibkr.com/yib.
Global stocks and bonds are rising as we head into the second day of congressional testimony from Fed Chairman Jerome Powell. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 8.5 points. Dow futures up 76. NASDAQ futures up 31. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. CAC in Paris up 0.3%. And the FTSE 100 up 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.5%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.05%, yield on the 2-year 1.80%. COMEX gold is up 0.8%, or $11.10 to $14.2360 an ounce. The euro 1.1265 against the dollar. The yen 108.19. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with fresh signs that rates are headed lower after testimony from Jerome Powell.
We see what we've called cross currents, principally trade developments and concerns over global growth. Many FOMC participants at the last meeting saw those as weighing on the outlook and calling for possibly more accommodative policy.
The Fed chairman's comments on Capitol Hill have traders all but certain a rate cut is on the way this month. Former Richmond Fed President Al Broaddus.
It is, a done deal now. You know, at the end of the June FOMC meeting, there was a strong expectation that the Fed might cut rates in July. But then we got that strong jobs report, and that raised some doubts. But in his testimony, the chairman, I think, erased those doubts. He said that's not going to stop them.
Bets on a 50 basis point cut this month are on the rise again, while Treasury yields decline.
Citigroup says yields on two-year notes could slide as low as 1% by the end of 2020, and that has traders asking if this could be the first in a series of rate cuts to counter slowing growth. PIMCO portfolio manager Aaron Brown.
Going forward, the question for the market, really in terms of the sustainability of these moves that we're seeing, is this a one-time insurance cut, or is it going to be a more sustained cut going forward? Are we likely at the onset of a rate-cutting cycle?
And we'll look for more signs of that in Powell's second day of testimony a little after 10 a.m. Wall Street time.
But just before that, tune in for a conversation with the new president of the Richmond Fed. Tom Barkin sits down for an exclusive interview with Bloomberg Radio and Television at 10, just ahead of Powell's Q&A with senators.
But first, we get data on U.S. inflation at 8:30. Economists predict the Consumer Price Index showed no change in June, while core CPI rose 0.2%. We get more from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
In May, the CPI eked out a 0.1% increase, the weakest showing since January. The trend probably continued in June. Bloomberg Economics sees lower gasoline prices depressing today's headline data. The strong dollar, in turn, has held import prices in check. Beneath the headline, service costs could nudge core CPI, which excludes food and energy, a bit higher. But as Fed Chair Jerome Powell told Congress, inflation remains muted. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. At 7:30 a.m. on Wall Street, the European Central Bank issues minutes from its June meeting in the wake of those dovish remarks from Fed Chair Powell. Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Roger Hearing joins us live from London with a preview. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The ECB's account should give us some background about the dovish switch the European Central Bank is taking. And investors will be scouring the documents from their June meeting to gauge how strong the push was for more easing. It should also give a steer about the chances of a change to forward guidance this month or a rate cut in September. Those are both what Bloomberg Economics is forecasting. Mario Draghi's already said without economic improvement, more stimulus will be needed. Live in London, I'm Roger Hearing, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Roger, thank you. Back here in the U.S., we're getting word that the Justice Department is investigating Deutsche Bank as part of a probe of Malaysia's 1MDB scandal. Bloomberg's John Tucker has the very latest. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Sources are telling Bloomberg investigators are now taking a closer look at a former Goldman Sachs executive who later worked at Deutsche Bank. According to the Wall Street Journal, the probe aims to determine whether Deutsche Bank violated foreign corruption or anti-money laundering laws as it helped 1MDB raise $1.2 billion in 2014. So far, investigations into the Malaysian fund had mainly focused on more than $6 billion it raised in 2012 and 2013 with help from Goldman Sachs. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. The U.S. is also opening an investigation into a plan by France to impose taxes on big tech companies like Facebook and Google. Bloomberg's Sarah McGregor has more.
The U.S. Trade Representative's office has a year to conduct this investigation. France has not yet put the tax into effect, so there's still a lot of moving parts before an action could take place, but it is a pretty serious move that sort of shows that the Trump administration isn't willing to leave any stone unturned where it sees unfair practices.
The probe threatens to further strain U.S. relations with Europe as the two sides prepare to negotiate a limited trade agreement on industrial goods.
And oil is trading near a seven-week high as a potential hurricane heads toward the Gulf of Mexico. About a third of the Gulf's crude output has been cut ahead of the storm. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards puts it like this. He says, quote, this is going to be a Louisiana event with coastal flooding and heavy rainfall potentially impacting every part of the state. Chevron said it began shutting in five of its platforms in the Gulf. Royal Dutch Shell curbed production. BP and ExxonMobil have also started removing offshore personnel. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% right now, up 31 cents at $60.74 a barrel. Brent is up 0.6% at $67.39. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street. Here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. According to the UK government, the British Navy was forced to intervene to stop Iran impeding the passage of a commercial oil tanker in the Strait of Hormuz. In a UK statement, three Iranian vessels attempted to impede the passage of the British Heritage and issued verbal warnings to the Iranian vessels, which then turned away. The U.S. is preparing to arrest thousands of members of undocumented families. That's according to the New York Times. It's scheduled to start on Sunday. President Trump's former national security advisor, Michael Flynn's hopes of avoiding a prison term is in jeopardy. Prosecutors said that his new legal strategy had prompted them to reassess their two-year-old cooperation agreement. Vice President Mike Pence said that he was happy that Labor Secretary Alex Acosta held a news conference to explain his role in the Jeffrey Epstein case over a decade ago.
Well, every member of our cabinet serves at the pleasure of the president. We were pleased to see Secretary Acosta step forward.
Acosta gave an explanation defending his decision to negotiate a plea deal with Epstein in a 2008 case in Florida that allowed the financier to serve a lesser sentence on state charges of prostitution.
Epstein got an ultimatum: plead guilty to a charge that would require jail time and registration, or face federal charges. And that was the week, more than 10 years ago, that Epstein went to jail.
Epstein pleaded not guilty to new charges in New York. President Trump hosts a social media summit at the White House today and leaves out some of the biggest names in tech. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the story.
While the White House bills it as a robust conversation to bring together digital leaders, it won't say why Facebook, Twitter, and Google weren't invited, while reps from several conservative groups, including the Heritage Foundation, were, along with a list of right-leaning media figures, lawmakers, and Trump supporters. Just last week, Trump told Fox's Tucker Carlson big tech firms are totally against him and doing some things that are possibly illegal, though he wouldn't say if there's a formal investigation.
I don't want to even say whether or not they're doing something, but I will tell you there are a lot of people that want us to.
Policy experts tell Bloomberg the White White House could just be looking to rally political support rather than developing new tech policies. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. While the Yankees and Mets continue their All-Star break, the Yankees home Friday versus Toronto, while the Mets are in Miami, all eyes shifting across the pond for what's sure to make for a great weekend at Wimbledon. The committee got the seeding right as number two Roger Federer will battle third-seeded Rafael Nadal one more time on Friday. The winner faces either top-seed Novak Djokovic or another up-and-coming Spaniard, Roberto Bautista Agut. Serena Williams looks to advance into the semis this morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. It came at the expense of knocking off fellow American Allison Risk.
Just needed to just fight. Allison was, I mean, she played so great throughout the whole tournament. She's beaten so many amazing players that has been players that have had great years. You know, she was not giving it to me. I needed to step up and take it, and that's what I had to do.
Should Serena advance, she could meet former world number one Simona Halep. Basketball. The Nets are doing their part to set up for a successful season. Brooklyn included about $1 million in yearly performance-based incentives into the max contracts for both Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. That was a tweak allowing them to maneuver to fit the contracts for DeAndre Jordan and second-round pick Nicholas Claxton into the cap space. Add this to the growth of Jarrett Allen, who had a double-double against Orlando in the Summer League on Wednesday, makes up for a good season. Meanwhile, sad news for Yankees fans as Jim Boughton, former Yankees pitcher who shocked and angered the conservative baseball world with his tell-all book, Ball 4, has died. He was 80 years old. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
And Rob, the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team celebrated its World Cup victory coast-to-coast yesterday. First, they were honored with the ticker tape parade in New York City, followed by trophies at the ESPYs in Los Angeles that same night. Alex Morgan won Female Athlete of the Year and shared the Best Team Award with the World Cup champs. One more trophy to put on the case. S&P futures up 7 points now. Dow futures ahead by 65. NASDAQ futures up 24 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we speak with Kit Jukes, global fixed income strategist at Societe Generale, on the outlook for yields with a dovish Fed. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Jerome Powell's green light on rate cuts yesterday has bond yields heading lower. The Fed chairman answers questions from the Senate Banking Committee today. Investors will be watching minutes from the ECB to see how strong the push was for more easing. There could be clues on the chances of a shift in forward guidance this month or a rate cut in September. Deutsche Bank is being probed by the Justice Department to see if it aided corruption or money laundering in work it did for 1MDB. That's according to a source who says an ex-Goldman exec who later joined Deutsche Bank is helping with the inquiries. And Reckitt Benckiser will pay up to $1.4 billion to settle US probes into marketing of an opioid addiction treatment by one of its former units. Prosecutors say it helped fuel the epidemic by masking Suboxone's risks. For the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are up 7 points. Dow futures up 61. NASDAQ futures up 24. The DAX in Germany is little changed now. So is the FTSE 100. 10-year Treasury little change, yield 2.06%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 34 cents at $60.77 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.8% or $10.80 to $14.2330 an ounce. And the euro 1.1270 against the dollar, the yen 108.20. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Iran apparently tried but failed to seize a British tanker. According to the British Navy, it was forced to intervene to stop Iran from impeding the passage of the commercial oil tanker British Heritage in the Strait of Hormuz. The UK government says the Iranian vessels turned away after verbal warnings from Britain. Former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn's hopes of avoiding a prison term could be in jeopardy after prosecutors said that his new legal strategy had prompted them to reassess their two-year-old cooperation agreement. At Wimbledon, Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer face each other in the men's semifinals tomorrow. Novak Djokovic will face Roberto Bautista Agut. Today, in the women's semifinals, Serena Williams and Simona Halep play their respective matches today. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 620 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Kit Jukes is with us now, global fixed income strategist at Societe Generale. Good, as always, to speak with you, Kit. As rate bets are building that the Federal Reserve could cut 50 basis points this month after hearing from Powell yesterday. Is that the right call, do you think?
I thought Chairman Powell had a really open opportunity to walk the market back from the idea of 25 and to give himself the option of leaving rates on hold. Nothing is a done deal in life, but he came as close to rubber stamping 25 basis points at the end of the month as he could have done. I didn't think he did anything to encourage anybody that 50 would be coming this soon, unless we get some truly horrific economic data in the next 10 days, which I'm not quite sure where we're going to get them from. So 25 looks likely now, but between his comments and the FOMC minutes, clearly this is very unlikely to be one and done unless the data are, again, are very strong. So one now, one more before Christmas, and after what you think happens next year depends on whether you think the U.S. economy is going to slow more sharply or not.
Where do you see the case for a rate cut being once we get further data just this morning on inflation?
I would be surprised if the inflation data changed the story too much certainly on this month's cut, because we'd have to see inflation sort of pick up sort of suddenly and change the picture, which seems unlikely. Consumer prices are one of the numbers that doesn't surprise that much. You know, there's a consensus number looks for 2% on core CPI. Whether it's 2.1, 1.9, I'm not sure that makes a huge amount of difference to the 25. But you know, we'll see whether it does. Clearly, you know, if we saw a surprise either side, that would affect market sentiment. But I think it has to be a really big surprise to prevent a 25 basis point cut this month.
What do you see the impact on yield being if a 25 basis point cut does go ahead July 31?
I think the market is you know, then probably enthralled to the next month's payroll data. Remember, you know, this is right at the end of the month, so we're a week before the payroll survey at that point. And it'll be how the market prices in the rest of the cycle will depend on whether the economy looks like it's genuinely losing momentum or not. If you look back at all the Fed cycles, certainly in my career, you kind of divide them into the two really little ones in 98 and 95, sort of three cut cycles, and all the others when over the last five cycles we've had an average of 49 cuts. In other words, either the Fed's facing a significant slowdown that may or may not miss recession, but it's a significant slowdown, and then we've got a whole series of cuts, or it's just a precautionary little move that succeeds in avoiding recession. I don't think it's this, but the market, if the data starts supporting the idea that, look, next year's growth, that the weak quarter is not going to be 1 point something, the weak quarter is going to be 0 point something or minus point something, then at that point, I think the market prices in a series of cuts through 2020.
What did you make of Powell's comment yesterday that he doesn't see evidence that we're in a hot job market, given the, you know, this rather strong June report we've got?
Well, you know, I think economists have a real problem trying to work out what Nehru is, what full employment is. That clearly, you know, one of the sort of long-term trends in the United States has been this falling participation rate in the labor market. In other words, a lot of people are not looking for jobs or don't report to jobs or don't go to a labor office and say, you know, I'm available for work. But if there are jobs going, they turn up and they come back out of the woodwork and they want to work. So the kind of people who aren't reporting for work and looking for work but actually would like a job, that's an unknown amount. But if you guessed at it from the participation rate as recorded, it could be a pretty big number. And that is one way you know, kind of square the circle and fill in the gap that says, but that's why wage growth is lower than people might have thought it would have been with this unemployment rate. So there's a ton of economics being done around this. In the end, we look at the wage numbers and we say, this labor market's not as hot as it looks.
Mm. Kid Jukes, global fixed income strategist at Societe Generale. Have to leave it there for now. Thanks, as always, as we await day two of Chairman Powell's testimony, this time before the Senate Banking Committee. Our coverage begins just after 10 a.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio and on Bloomberg Television. S&P futures up 6 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now, the heist edition, with stories on robbers, hackers, smugglers, and thieves. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com for the global stories that matter most.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher ahead of a second day of congressional testimony from Jerome Powell. Yesterday, the Fed chairman signaled a willingness to lower rates, citing a slowing global economy and trade issues.
The uncertainties around global growth and trade continue to weigh on the outlook. In addition, inflation continues to be muted, and those things are still in place.
Powell's comments on Capitol Hill have traders all but certain a rate cut is on the way this month. Former Richmond Fed President Al Broaddus.
The really strong rationale is the persistent weakness in the inflation rate and the need for the Fed to do something to shore up the credibility of its inflation target. Inflation has been below 2%, the 2% target, for a long time.
Now, Powell speaks this morning before the Senate Banking Committee. Ahead of that testimony, tune in for a conversation with the new president of the Richmond Fed. Tom Barkin sits down for an exclusive interview with Bloomberg Radio and Television at 10 a.m. Wall Street time.
Meanwhile, a key measure of U.S. inflation, the core consumer price index, is due out at 8:30 a.m. It's forecast to have increased 0.2% in June, while the broader CPI reading remains unchanged.
At 7:30 Wall Street time, the European Central Bank publishes an account of its June policy meeting. Most economists expect the ECB to announce more stimulus by September at the latest.
Shares of Deutsche Bank are down about 0.5%. Bloomberg News has learned the U.S. Justice Department is investigating the German lender as part of a probe into Malaysia's 1MDB investment fund.
Bed Bath & Beyond shares are down more than 3.5%. The retailer's comparable sales for the first quarter missed estimates.
The U.S. will investigate a French plan to impose taxes on big tech companies like Facebook and Google. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer will have up to a year to examine whether the plan would hurt U.S. companies.
And Swiss Re has suspended the IPO of its British unit, ReAssure. The world's second largest reinsurer cited weak demand among institutional investors. The ReAssure offering implied a market value of up to $4.1 billion.
S&P futures higher this morning. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 5 points. Dow futures up 43. NASDAQ futures up 15. The DAX in Germany turned lower, down 0.3% right now, while the CAC in Paris and FTSE 100 are little changed. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 2.06%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.80%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 28 cents at $60.71 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.8%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It is 6:33 on Wall Street, and the news update is brought to you by Bernstein Medical. Losing your hair? Learn how Bernstein Medical uses your own hair to create natural, permanent results. Explore BernsteinMedical.com or visit their Manhattan Center. Bernstein Medical, a world leader in robotic hair transplants. Here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards is issuing a state of emergency ahead of the threat of a possible hurricane this weekend. Bel Edwards warns that there could be a considerable amount of overtopping of levees if the storm follows torrential rain-flooded streets.
We don't know yet where this storm is going to land, but we know it's going to be a big storm, a significant rain and storm surge event.
Iran's Revolutionary Guard has denied British allegations of a confrontation in the Strait of Hormuz, saying if it had received orders to seize any ships, it would have executed them immediately. Britain says three Iranian vessels unsuccessfully tried to impede the passage of a British commercial vessel through the Strait of Hormuz and only turned away after receiving verbal warnings from a UK Navy vessel. Michael Flynn's hopes of avoiding a prison term could be in jeopardy after U.S. prosecutors said that his new legal strategy had prompted them to reassess their two-year-old cooperation agreement. The former Trump National Security Advisor pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI. Labor Secretary Alex Acosta says that when he was a federal prosecutor in Florida, his office acted appropriately when it came to the secret plea deal offered to hedge fund manager Jeffrey Epstein a decade ago in a molestation case. Democrats have been calling for Acosta's resignation. Trump administration officials signal support for pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong and defiance toward the Chinese government by granting a series of high-level meetings this week to a Hong Kong bookseller who has drawn Beijing's ire. More from Bloomberg's Mark Mills.
Hong Kong publisher and democracy advocate Jimmy Lai is no friend to China these days, as hundreds of thousands of protesters in Hong Kong have expressed disapproval of their local leaders and with China's influence over the former British colony. Visiting Washington, Lai met yesterday with National Security Advisor John Bolton, following earlier meetings with Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary of State Pompeo, and several Republican senators. Beijing has taken note, China's foreign ministry said, by repeatedly interfering in Hong Kong affairs. The U.S. has sent seriously wrong signals to the world. Lai's meetings came just as the U.S. and China are working to get stalled trade talks back on track. Mark Mills, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Nathan. We're down to the final four on the grass courts of Wimbledon for both the men and women as action underway this morning from England. Serena Williams looks for yet another Grand Slam title, returning to her prime form of late as she battles Czech's Barbara Strikova. Should Williams advance, she could face former number one Simona Halep on Saturday. Serena's in action at 10 a.m. Eastern. On the men's side, top seeded Novak Djokovic plays Spain's Roberto Bautista Agu for the right to face Rafi or Roger as the icons Nadal and Federer square off in another semifinal on Friday. The men's championship is on Sunday. Baseball. A New York polarizing figure has passed away. Former Yankee great pitcher Jim Boughton, who was later a best-selling author, actor, and top-rated New York sportscaster, has died at age 80. He was known for pushing the barriers of commonplace sports coverage.
I wanted to show a variety of sports events, particularly those sports events that people weren't used to seeing on television. When I wrote A Brahma Bull, I actually cracked one of my ribs and had to go to the emergency room at the local hospital.
Boughton's controversial book, Ball 4, A Tell-All, was banned by the commissioner, despite the New York Public Library recognizing the book as one of the most influential of our time in the sports world. His Yankees host the Blue Jays Friday to kick off the second half, while the Mets head south to visit the Marlins. Into the association, the Nets have included about $1 million in yearly performance-based incentives to the max contracts of Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, which allowed them to fit in deals for second-round pick Nicholas Claxton and DeAndre Jordan. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Rob, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Kim Derrick learned the hard way what it's like to be on the receiving end of Donald Trump's Twitter tirades. He lost his job for telling the truth. Derrick resigned as Britain's ambassador to the U.S. this week after frank cables in which he described the White House as uniquely dysfunctional were leaked to the press. His phrasing was perhaps indelicate. But that's part of the diplomat's job, to give his bosses unvarnished assessments. The president reacted with angry tweets, announcing that the U.S. would no longer deal with Derrick and pettily disinviting him from an official dinner. Trump has treated Britain shamefully. He has once again failed to grasp that alliances serve America's interests. America's special relationship with the U.K. will no doubt endure, but this rupture is still damaging. Trump has alienated the country's closest friend and gained nothing for it. Uniquely dysfunctional sums it up well. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Coming up to 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
GOP lawmakers would like to remind you that President Theodore Roosevelt, an essential figure in the early conservation movement, was a Republican. So, in a bid to buff up a green image, they've announced formation of the Roosevelt Conservation Caucus, which will advance ideas for repairing ocean pollution, cleaning up abandoned mines, and protecting endangered species. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham is spearheading the effort, saying he's tired of playing defense on the environment.
We need to showcase that we care about conservation, we care about the environment, we believe in innovation when it comes to solving environmental problems, not regulation. You can have a healthy environment and still fly a plane and eat a hamburger.
The move comes as polls show growing voter concern about climate change and skepticism about Republicans' approach to the phenomenon. Graham was asked about President Trump's denials of global warming. He said he's encouraged the president to look at the evidence and admit that climate change is real. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. As earnings season gets started this week, we get second quarter results from Delta Airlines this morning. Here with a preview, Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Bloomberg Intelligence says the main concern about Delta is the challenge of boosting fares in a competitive environment. Domestic yields have inched higher while transatlantic and Asian yields declined. Strong capacity additions will pressure fares and profitability. The consensus among forecasters is that Delta will post an adjusted profit of $2.28 a share on revenue of nearly $12.5 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. S&P futures up almost 5 points now. Dow futures ahead by 42, NASDAQ futures up 16.5 points. The 10-year little change, the yield 2.06%, 2-year treasuries at 1.80%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street. Ahead of Chairman Powell's testimony before the Senate Banking Committee, we speak with one of the Republicans on the panel. Senator Mike Rounds of South Dakota joins us next on Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures are higher this morning. We go to the first word, breaking news desk, for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures in the green right now. Dow futures up 50 points. S&P's gained 6, while the NASDAQ futures climb by 20. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.06%, and Shanghai was a little changed overnight. Well, European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, CPI and initial jobs claims, and at 2 o'clock, the monthly budget statement. On the geopolitical front, the British Navy stopped Iran from blocking an oil tanker in the Persian Gulf. WTI crude futures currently up 0.5%. After the bell last night, Bed Bath & Beyond comp sales missed estimates. And regarding earnings this morning, look for Delta and Fastenal to report in the pre-market. In other news, Snap's price target was raised to 17 from 12 over at Bank of America. And wrapping things up, Alcoa was downgraded to hold over at Deutsche Bank. Take-Two downgraded to hold at Jefferies. Weight Watchers was upgraded to neutral at JP Morgan. And TD Ameritrade downgraded to equal weight over at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the U.S. is preparing to arrest thousands of members of undocumented families. According to the New York Times, it is scheduled to start on Sunday. A weather system is expected to grow into a tropical depression later today. It is churning along the Gulf Coast. Flood watches and warnings are out across the area. At Wimbledon, Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer face each other in the men's semifinals tomorrow. Novak Djokovic will face Roberto Bautista Agut. Today, in the women's semifinals, Serena Williams and Simona Halep face in their matches, respective matches, later today. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, sugary beverages may be linked to a higher risk of cancer. A British medical journal study found that a daily intake of about 3.4 ounces of soda, about a third of a can of Coke, was associated with about 18% greater risk of some cancers, with the likelihood of breast tumors rising by 22%. And Nathan, when people drank the same amount of unsweetened juice, They were also more likely to develop cancer.
Unsweetened.
Yes,
unsweetened. Just as people are sitting down for their cup of OJ. Nice work, Michael.
Oh, thank you. Maybe it's the rum.
It's a public service, is what
soda.
I mean to say. Yeah. I'm being sincere. It's a public service.
Yes. We can only drink spit now. That's it. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on
Sparkling
Twitter.
Sparkling water, Michael.
Yes, of
with
course.
With a little bit of juice mixed in.
Uh-huh. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
So cynical. Thank you, Michael. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include Labor Secretary Alex Acosta defending his role in a 2008 plea deal with billionaire and accused sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. President Trump holding a social media summit at the White House with conservative groups just moments ago. The president tweeted that after that summit, he will be holding a Rose Garden news conference on the census and citizenship. Also making news this morning, of course, day two of Fed Chairman Jerome Powell's testimony on monetary policy, this time before the Senate Banking Committee. Ahead of that, a member of that committee is in our Bloomberg 99.1 studios in Washington, Republican Senator Mike Rounds of South Dakota. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you very much. I'm just sitting here drinking my black coffee.
With no added sugar, I'm sure.
No added sugar.
I want to talk to you about what you're expecting from the Fed chairman today, but I'd like to get your reaction to this breaking news now that the president is going to be holding a news conference on the citizenship question on the census. What's your stand on whether that question should be on next year's census?
You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with having that particular question on the census, but you know, once again, this is a case of where the Supreme Court may very well enter into a discussion about whether or not you can do it. The president feels strongly that you should. I personally would have no objections to having that on. And the real question is why can't we find out how many citizens we have within the population and how many non-citizens do we have within a particular segment of the population? The question will be whether or not the court accepts the argument of why you want that information. And if the information that is requested is for legitimate purposes, then there should be no reason why we shouldn't be able to ask that question.
Are you concerned about the possibility that a question like that would dampen turnout for the census among certain non-citizens?
Yeah, I would hope that it would not, and I would suspect that a lot of it would be based upon whether or not the political leaders in this country can assure them that it would not be. And that this is not for law enforcement purposes. This is for determining how you split the funds up, where the money goes, where the needs are at, and so forth. But most certainly, it seems to me a very reasonable request to be able to find out how many citizens are a part of that population.
For the needs you lay out, is it necessary to know whether respondents are citizens?
We ask lots of questions within the census. The question could be laid out in the same format for a lot of different questions. Should each particular question, is it necessary to ask that question or not? So, you know, rather than trying to determine each one, is it necessary or not, the real question is does this help us do a better job? And to be able to know the number of citizens within a particular location may very well be appropriate to ask and most certainly shouldn't be considered illegal to ask.
I want to move on to your role today on the Senate Banking Committee. Your reaction to Chairman Powell's testimony yesterday. What more do you want to hear from the chairman today?
I think the chairman does a good job in front of the committees. I thought he did a good job. And on the limited time I had last evening, I went back and looked at some of the testimony that he provided. He does a good job of answering the questions and sticking to the topic without over-answering them. I think he's made it very clear that there are outside forces at play that could impact the economy in the United States. He talks about weakness around the world. He also spoke to some degree about the challenges when we have questions in our trade policies. There's a lot of talk about whether or not we're moving in the right direction with trade. I think we are. I think the fact that the president actually has finally stood up to China and said, we're not going to take this anymore. You're cheating. You're stealing intellectual property. You're not playing fair. You're dumping your products on a subsidized rate into other people's markets in a serious attempt to take over those particular areas. I talked to a group of people yesterday who make cabinetry for kitchens around the United States. They're competing with Chinese firms who are placing bids where the costs of they're bidding projects at less than what our material costs are. And they're doing it because the Chinese government subsidizes those programs for those Chinese manufacturers, comes in, takes over the market, and then they have a monopoly on it. And those are not fair trading practices. The president's calling them out on it. There's a repercussion to that. And my folks in South Dakota are on the tip of the spear when it comes to the repercussions. China has not been buying as many soybeans. Value on soybeans is down 20% in the upper Midwest. That impacts my state to the tune of $500 million a year. I've talked to the president about it. He says, look, we're going to make this thing work. We're going to have better trade deals in the future. We're going to have fairer trade deals. And in the meantime, along with all of the issues surrounding trade, there is also the issues with China and our national security. Huawei is a good example. Some people think that we're in on the market issues with Huawei. That's not it. Huawei is an issue of national security. And so you got all of these different items all kind of fit together. But the chairman's kind of putting that all together. And as he lays that all out in front of the different committees, he's trying to tell people all of these things come into the play and that the Fed is taking a good hard look at it and that they're not immune to looking at the big picture, which is exactly what they're supposed to do.
Republican Senator Mike Rounds of the Banking Committee, thanks again for being with us. And stay with Bloomberg Radio and Television for live coverage of Chairman Powell's appearance before the committee beginning at 10 a.m. Wall Street time. It's 6:56 now on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Liberals are mad at Nancy Pelosi for one big reason, because she's doing her job. The Speaker's job is to work for and protect all the members of the House Democratic Caucus. And the electoral incentives of relatively moderate members in tough districts will always weigh heavily in that calculation. Speakers sign up for scapegoat duty. The good ones, Pelosi, John Boehner, Tip O'Neill, have very few star moments and lots of episodes where they take the brunt of abuse from their own party. Usually, the real reason why the House disappoints ideological activists is the votes aren't there. At no point can the Speaker just snap her fingers and order the caucus to support the party line. For better or worse, U.S. legislative parties don't work that way. None of this means that the House Democratic leadership shouldn't draw criticism. That's sort of the point, in fact. Good leaders make themselves targets so that other, more vulnerable members can quietly go about representing their districts. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. S&P futures are up 7 points. Dow futures up 76. NASDAQ futures up 22. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.06%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.80%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 32 cents at $60.75 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up almost 0.8%. Straight ahead, it's Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.